talking about because you experienced it. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Hymn number 186, And Can It Be? Let's sing it out on the first. On the second stanza of hymn number 186, it's actually the third stanza. Amazing this morning that thou, my God, shouldst die for me. Let's sing it out there on that next stanza. Lord, my last stanza, no condemnation, now I dread. Let's sing that out.
Thank you. wonderful truth that is, that Christ, if you're saved this morning, Christ has paid our debts. Amen. If you're saved this morning.
Amen.
Now, we shouldn't keep it to ourselves. We should tell others about what Jesus has done. Invite him back to the revival meetings tonight and each night this week at 7 p.m. What a great time that would be to see souls saved, see Christians grow in the Lord and edified. Let us bow together in prayer. It's good to have Pastor Logan back from Virginia. And I prayed for him while he was away, and he came back yesterday afternoon, so praise the Lord for that. Pastor Logan, would you please pray, and especially pray for revival this week, and for evangelists, and pray for souls to be saved, and as well for our missionaries. Let us bow together in prayer.
Our Father, our God, we do thank you for your presence this morning. We thank you for being in the house of worship. What a great day it is.
Amen.
And we thank you that we live in a country like America where we can come and worship right here today without the fear of the Lord. We pray for this may exist all around the world, Lord. We know that your country does not exist there. So we pray for our sisters and brothers in other countries, Lord, where they cannot worship without the fear of the government. We pray that you might be there and bless them and give them faith to continue to know that they're doing a good work to you, Lord. We thank you for America, Lord. We thank you for its people and for its leaders.
Amen.
We pray to bless and all of those in authority, Lord. And we pray for those in the nation of Israel. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Amen.
What a great nation that is, Lord. What a fulfillment of prophecy coming about in that nation.
Amen.
We thank you for the nation, Lord. And we live, we wait with great anticipation for the day that you say the day shall come and all Israel shall be saved, Lord. And your word that in the night we look upon you, Lord, they'll see that. Where did you get there? They would say, you were there, we got them and all of his friends, Lord, and the right people recognized they crucified their own Savior, they crucified their own Savior. And then the Lord said, a nation shall be born in a day. We just wait for that day with great anticipation.
Amen.
And Father, you pray for the grandchildren to wait, and pray for the winning of souls, that many might come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest thing can happen in one's life when they trust Christ.
Amen.
All right, you may be seated. Take your blue hymnal again. Turn to hymn number 390, Love Lifted Me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. A song of personal testimony of the love of Christ in our lives. Hymn number 390, let's sing it out.
Let me now save them all.
this time we'll direct your attention to our Bibles for a scripture reading. If you need, if you don't have your Bible with you, there should be one in the row in front of you. Turning in our Bibles for a scripture reading, I'm going to ask Deacon Hodge to come and read for us this morning Psalm 66, verses 13 through 20. Psalm 66 and verses 13 through 20, and then Proverbs 3, 13 through 17. So let us all stand when you have found it for the reading of God's Word this morning.
Psalm 66, 13 to 20.
All of it?
13
to 20.
Okay. Everyone has it? Psalm 66, we read it alternatively. Starting at 20?
13.
13 to 20. Okay. I will go into the house with burnt offerings. I will pray thy woe, pay thee my woe.
Which my lips have uttered and my mouth hath spoken when I was in trouble.
I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatness with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats and Shiloh.
Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul.
I will cry unto him with my mouth, and he will extol with my tongue.
If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.
But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer.
Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from thee.
Amen. And Ecclesiastes?
Proverbs 3, 13 through 17.
Okay, so it's Proverbs 13,
Proverbs 3:13.
Okay. I better use my small Bible. It's not easier to have. Got it? 13?
Through 17.
Through 17. Okay. Alright, let's start at verse 13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be...
Proverbs 3.
Okay. I missed one. Okay, 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding.
For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the angel of fine gold.
She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her.
Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor.
Her ways are always of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace.
She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that receiveth her.
The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding had he established the heavens.
By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down into the dew.
May God bless your hearts today, his words. You may be seated.
Amen. We're glad that you are here with us today. Welcome to Northfield Baptist Church. We have two different bulletins today. One says, serve the Lord with gladness. The other says, the words of the Lord. are pure words, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're praying that this week that some come and hear the word of God and get saved. Trust Christ as Savior. What a great thing that would be. And for each Christian that's here, that we grow in the Lord. And just by way of announcements, we want to welcome our first-time visitors here with us. Is there anyone here for the first time here with us this morning? We want to welcome you. We'll start with Brother Raines. Would you introduce you and your wife and family for us?
Yeah, my name's Paul Raines, and we're from Wisconsin. It's my wife, Lisa. And then our son, Kian, is 2.5 years old. He's right there. Hi, Kian. And then our son, 6-month-old, Evan, is in the nursery.
Okay, amen. Welcome, brother.
Great to be here.
Your wife, glad to have you with us. And then it's good to have Sister Corinne back with us, and this time her daughter brought her. Is that correct? Nice to have you with us today. What's your name?
My name is Deborah.
Deborah. All right, welcome Deborah, Mia, Zoe, and Chloe. The twins are very cute. In Sunday school, I was meeting them. They're both 5 years old, and then Mia's 6, right, Mia? All right, and Elizabeth, our daughter, she's 5, so they're having a good time in there. And then it's good to have each one of you here with us on this side. It's good to have Brother Keith with us. Welcome, Keith, from Egg Harbor City. Good to have you with us this morning. And somebody invited him at the hospital. They gave an invitation to him to come, and glad that... So these invitations are important. We have more of those invitations on the back table, the revival meeting invitations, and we're printing more out. So, you're welcome to join Brother Raines and I this week as we go out each morning right after breakfast to go door to door and invite people to church, invite people to know the Lord as Savior first and foremost, and then, of course, invite them to the meetings. And so you're welcome to join us. What time is breakfast each morning? Brother Gilmore, I know you like the early breakfast, so what time do you want to do that?
Oh, the early breakfast?
Yes.
Oh, 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Okay. Meet us at Manhattan Bagel, 8 or 8:30, let's say 8:30, and then when we're done breakfast, we'll go out door to door. So for anyone that wants to join us for good fellowship, good friendship with the evangelists, as well as... Just a good time together, and then right after that we'll go out door to door, and so we look forward to that every week, every morning, Monday through Thursday morning. Then they leave on Friday morning. All right, just by way of other announcements, we have the volunteer choir. If you're interested in singing with us each night for the opener, Brother Raines will be leading that at 6:40 each night. But I will say, if you're inviting someone and you're bringing them, you know, hey, if they want to come 20 minutes early, great. If not, just bring them. That's the more important thing. But for anyone else, everyone else who wants to sing in the choir, we'll be practicing each night at 6:40 to start the opener. Then we need to pray this week. The very important thing is revival and evangelism can only come by prayer. So how many will commit to praying with us each day this week? Each day for about 5 minutes. 5 minutes of your time to pray for souls to be saved. Pray for your own, any family members you have to be saved. Any friends, co-workers. And pray for revival. How many will commit to that each day this week? 5 minutes at least of prayer. You know, you can go over that 5 minutes. That'd be great. But we want to spend that at least that much time each day in prayer. This week, praise the Lord, and we look forward to what great things God is going to do through prayer. And then today is Friend Day and Friend Night. The person with the most visitors gets a book from the book table. I don't believe the book table set up that yet. Okay, so I believe Sister Corinne. She invited her daughter, so she gets the book from the book table today, and we'll make sure you get that, or you can pick out a Bible if you'd like a Bible. Then tonight we'll be doing the same thing. Then Monday night is ladies' night, so the lady with the most points. Tuesday night is men's night. Wednesday night, teen and kid night. Thursday night, anyone who brings the most people gets a book from the book table. So we look forward to these special things, or Bible. this time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this morning of our tithes and offerings to God. Pray also for our young people as they prepare for Master Club's regionals this Saturday. They'll be going away to Fairless Hills, Pennsylvania, and we look forward to them competing and serving the Lord in these capacities. We also are collecting candy or small toys that can fit in plastic eggs. We're going to do a gospel egg hunt on Saturday, April 20th, the day before Easter, day before Resurrection Day. We'll be hiding about 700 or so eggs around the property. So if you can help us fill those eggs, just bring in your candies and put them under the table there or put them in the kitchen, and we'll make sure they get to the right place of filling the eggs. This time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this morning of our tithes and offerings to God. God says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." That God promises when we give to Him and His house, that He gives to back to us and more. Let us bow together in prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for the day of the money. About to see you, Lord, just my prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Again, turn to hymn number 66. I am His and He is mine. Of course, referring to the love that God has for us and His everlasting love. Love with everlasting love. Hymn number 66.
Thou hast taught me in a song. Oh,
stand to our feet, and we'll sing the last two stanzas together on that third verse. Time, I'm going to sing a song entitled "This Love Is Mine." We may sound the depths of all the mighty oceans, we may tell the distance to the farthest star, but the mighty love of God cannot be measured. Its dimensions are so high, so deep, so far. This love is mine, I cannot comprehend it. This love revealed in Christ, my Lord divine. When on a tree, He died for me. Wondrous, glorious, mighty love, this love is mine. And someday I'll see Him face to face in glory, when with all the ransom that is heaped above, and through countless ages there forever as the wonder of it all. This love is mine, I cannot comprehend it. This love revealed in Christ, my Lord divine. When on a tree He died for me,
wasn't it? What a blessing to be able to
dismiss all the sixth grade and younger to go with Evangelist Paul Rain this morning.
Yeah, I was just going to have him do that. Let's all stand, okay? Let's all stand. Let's just stand up if you would. Just everyone stand. If you can, maybe some of you can't stand. Okay? All those 4 years old through the third grade, right?
Through sixth grade.
Oh, through the sixth grade. Wow, you got quite a span there, brother. Okay, so all those 4 years old through the sixth grade, make your way to the back there, and he's going to take and have them while we preach here. and I'll try to out-preach him, okay? Because he's going to be right next door. But anyway, we'll be doing this. You can be seated now. We'll be doing this every night, except tonight. Tonight we will not be doing it. And we will be doing it Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Lord willing. And Brother Raines is traveling with me this particular meeting. This is the first time he's been with me and in a meeting, and he's going to be doing that a couple times through this year. We're trying to help him get started. He wants to go into full-time evangelism. He has a trailer, as you may have noticed. We have two trailers parked out there. Just fill it up your parking lot there. And he got a little late, so because of his difficulties with his vehicle. And so we're going to be unhooking that truck of his tomorrow, or maybe this afternoon. I don't know what his plans are. But anyway, he's traveling with me and trying to get him just kind of into evangelism, helping him get started. I helped another young man get started, evangelist Paul Schwanke. I guess I'm stuck on Paul's. In fact, I got a son named Paul, and pastor's got a son named Paul. That's a great name. And so we help him get started. We're helping this young man get going because, you know, we want to reach the next generation. We want to get some evangelists out there that will continue to carry on the ministry of evangelism. And so that's why we're having him travel with us. I know him really well. His family is just a fantastic family. And his mom and dad are just precious people. Dad just went to be with the Lord a year ago, I think, either today or tomorrow, or yesterday. So anyway, just a godly man. He had all his church, every service they were in church, all of them. He's got, eight kids. All of them were always in church. And they'd all sit right in the front row. Now that's something. I mean, you know, you could always expect him to be there. All his kids. And whenever there was any kind of a church thing going on, the whole family would be there. He never, you know, said, okay, you kids can stay home. No, all the family, work day, they all showed up. On a work day, all the family was there. So he comes from a tremendous home. And not everybody can have a home like that, but, you know, he was blessed to have a home like that. And so he's got a couple brothers who are missionaries. Two of them, let's see, there's two in Africa. And then he's got another brother that's going to be a pastor, start a church. And so it's just an unusual family, and I'm really, really thrilled to be able to try to help him get going, okay? So we're going to take an offering, by the way. We prayed about this on Wednesday night. We'll take an offering for him. The whole offering will be going towards him. He traveled a long way to be here, and he's going all the way back to Indiana to his next meeting. So, you know, you can just pray over that and do what you can do to be a blessing to this young man who God's hands on. So we just want you to keep that in mind, right? And as we go through the week. All right, let's open our Bibles this morning, if you will. We're going to turn to the book of John's Gospel, chapter number 14. John's Gospel, chapter number 14 in your Bible. I remember seeing Brother Paul kind of reminds me of when we got started, my wife and I, all the little kids, you know, and we had four little kids. And so it's kind of fun to see, you know, what be reminded of what you once experienced as well. So I didn't travel with anybody, but anyway, is to be able to see them traveling. By the way, that trailer out there is the old trailer I used to have. I sold it to him, and I got this different one. It's a couple years newer, so it's good to see my old friend. I spent a lot of time in that trailer, my wife and I, a lot of time in it, but it's good. I didn't want to have it, you know, go to the hands of someone that was smoking, drinking, cussing, swearing, you know, when we did all that kind of praying and all that kind of rejoicing and singing songs for the Lord in that trailer. So God answered the prayer, and, you know, he's not, we know one thing for sure, he's not drinking there, amen? After Sunday school, if you were here in Sunday school. But I know he's not doing those other things either. But anyway, it's good to see that old friend again. All right, John 14, verses 1 through 6 in your Bible. It's good to see all you folks. Gibson's here. I stayed in their home last time I was here and had such a wonderful time with them. And it's good to see the rest of you as well. Some of you I've not met before, so it's always good to see new people as well. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. All right, let's look at the Lord in the word of prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for every opportunity to open the Bible, and we pray you'll use the Bible in our midst this morning. Save that soul that would be here with Christ. Stir the heart of every Christian, Lord. We need to be stirred as Christians, and I pray you do that this morning. You just stir our hearts in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now, you know, one of the signs of old age is you begin to forget things, right? You know, someone told me that there are three signs of old age. Number one, you begin to forget things. Number two, number three. Well, you know, that's what happens when we get old. You know, people always say it, and I always, you know, I always respond this way. When people say, well, you know, when they can't remember something, they say, well, you know, old age, you know, can't. No, I don't say that. I say it's just because we have so much to remember. Amen? That's why we can't remember. We have so much to remember, right? That we try to remember. I'm pushing all the buttons here. I'll just... Okay. Well, people seem to think I was not on. All right. Okay, there we go. Okay. All right. You know, the devil gets into these things, right? But anyway, you know, there's some things we need to be reminded of. Just never forget them, okay? And I want to remind you of something, and that is, I want to remind you of what Jesus can do for people that no one else can do. What Jesus can do for people that you can't do for yourself. No one can do what he can do for you. See, I want to remind you of that. What is it that Jesus can do for people that no one else can do? Jesus can give peace and purpose in life. No one else can do that. Say, we need to be reminded of that. That only Jesus can bring peace and purpose in our lives. And sometimes we get away from that. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we think, well, no, I'll have a lot more peace, boy, if I have this car. Or I'll have a lot more peace in my life if I get, you know, more money in my life. I'll have a lot more peace in my life if, you know, I do this or that. No, we need to remind ourselves constantly that peace and purpose in life only come from the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't come any other way. Right? And we need to remind of that as we look at people all around the country, wherever you go, neighbors and friends, that's the only way they're going to ever have peace and purpose in their life. It's through Jesus Christ and Him alone. See? And that's what we need to be reminded of. And that's what you need to hear. Maybe you've never heard that, but you need to hear that this morning, that only Jesus Christ can give peace and purpose in your life. See, He's came to give peace. That's why Jesus came. John 14, verse 27 said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus came to give peace and purpose. See? You say, well, Brother Gilmore, if Jesus came to give peace, how come we got so much war and bloodshed and all kinds of turmoil going on? Well, you know, Jesus didn't come to give world peace. Say, he didn't come to bring that. Say, when he came the first time. When he came the first time, he came to bring personal peace in the heart. See, personal peace in the life. See, that's why he came. Now, he's going to come back again. When he comes the second time, he's going to bring world peace. Praise the Lord. When he comes, there's going to be no more war, and there's going to be no more bloodshed when he comes the second time. But that's coming, you know, in when he comes back the second time. When he came the first time, he came to bring peace and purpose in life, in a personal life, say. Now, I want you to note three things about peace and purpose, okay? Peace and purpose. I want you to note three things about it. First of all, it's what everyone needs. Everyone needs peace and purpose. It's not just something that I need, you know. It's not just something that, a pastor needs, or it's something that every individual person needs. No matter where you live, no matter how old you are, no matter where you were born, you need peace and purpose in your life. Now, why is that? You know why? Because if you go way back to Genesis chapter 1, the first book of the Bible, you'll find that God created man in his own likeness. He created Adam and Eve in his own likeness, say. And but in Genesis chapter number 5 and verse 3, and in between Genesis 1 and Genesis 5, you find that Adam and Eve sinned the Lord. They took that fruit that God told them not to take. And that matter of sin came in. And that sin caused, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 5 verse 3, that everyone since that time has been born in his own likeness. In other words, we're not in the likeness of God as we Adam and Eve were created. When Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says everyone was born in his own likeness. Now what does that simply mean? It means that we don't have the likeness of God. Our soul is lacking something. Say, we're created in with a soul and a body. You got both those, and you know, everyone since sin came in there has been born lacking something. There's something missing. There's an emptiness there, and that emptiness is that we have a soul that's longing for peace and purpose. Say, it's longing for it. And that's why we need peace and purpose. That's why I remember growing up, I was always asking, "What's next?" You know, I thought, well, this will bring me peace and purpose. You know, and I would go after this, or then I'd find out that didn't do it, and I'd say, "What's next?" You know, and I'd go after something else, trying to find peace and purpose in material things or pleasure. Or sports, or some other person in my life, you know. And so I was always saying, "What's next?" Because that my soul was crying out for peace and purpose. And that's what is going on in everybody's heart. Everybody, you look at people around here, everybody, they've got a soul and a heart that's crying out for peace and purpose. You know, when you look at people and you say, "Why do they do that?" I'll tell you why they do that. You know, they have a soul that's crying out for peace and purpose, say. Or you see someone looking a certain way. Why do they want to look that way? You know, why do they want to, do those kind of things? You know, and they're crying out for peace and purpose. Their soul is crying out. And you know what? It is just constantly going on in people's lives. So everyone needs peace and purpose in their life. Their soul is crying out for it. Now, the second thing I want you to know about peace and purpose in life is that everyone is trying to fill up that need of peace and purpose, or trying to find that peace and purpose in a wrong way. They're going about it in a wrong way. For instance, a lot of people try to find peace and purpose in alcohol. You know, if you were in Sunday school, you heard Brother Raines talking about the matter of alcohol, and it's something that is growing by leaps and bounds. America is drinking itself to death. We've had more consumption of alcoholic beverage in the last 35 years than ever before. I was out in Montana preaching, and I went to this little shop where I went before. I was there a number of times in that church, and I went to this little shop. It was a town pump. They had a gas station, and they had food in there you could buy and purchase. They had a little place you could sit down and drink your coffee, and I always like to read a paper, so I read the paper. And I went over to this town pump when I came back for the number of times I've been back there, and I went over for this town pump to get a cup of coffee. And you know what? The tables weren't there. And you know what was in the place, those tables? All kinds of alcoholic beverage. I mean, the whole place was just filled. You see, and I'll tell you something. This is America. People are trying to find peace and purpose, going about the wrong way. They're trying to find it in alcohol. Do you know that recently the American Society of Study of Clinical Oncology, now these are not preachers, this is not to Christians, but the American Society of Clinical Oncology made this statement and through their research that a person takes one drink a day is opening themselves up to 8 forms of cancer. I mean, you know, just one drink a day, you know. People say, well, I don't get drunk, I just take a little drink one. Well, I'll tell you something, I don't know about you, but I don't want anything to do with cancer. You know, I mean, I'm not going to do anything that's going to encourage 8 forms of cancer, say. But why are people all wrapped up in drinking and boozing and that kind of thing? I'll tell you why. They got a desire and a hunger and a thirst for peace and purpose in their life. And then, you know, a lot of people are trying to give that peace and purpose, find that peace and purpose in drug consumption, drug use, opioid drugs. I mean, it's a crisis in this country. I mean, what's opioid drugs? That's prescription drugs. You know, it's through the usage of prescription drugs. It's an epidemic worldwide, not just here in America, but it's worldwide. Now, these are people who are wealthy. They're nice people. I mean, they're people with positions, and yet they can't live without getting on some drug. Say they're hooked into some drug. Why is that so? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because people have a hunger and a thirst for peace and purpose in their life. And they're going about it the wrong way. A government official said concerning opioid use of drugs that it is scary. It is, he said, frightening what's going on across the country. Many people are dying overdose of drugs, not illegal drugs. I mean, these are not marijuana and all kinds. This is just opioid drugs, prescription drugs, and they're dying because of it. Why is that? They're going out to try to find peace and purpose in their life, and they think maybe it's drugs. Oh, so they go to these drug consumptions. Many people are trying to find peace and purpose not only in the wrong way of alcohol, and drugs, but entertainment. Boy, we live in an entertainment world, do we not? I mean, the entertainment industry is filled with filth and degeneracy today. I mean, it's anti-moral, anti-God, anti-Bible. Many of these entertainers often take their life suicide. It's amazing how many of them do. I mean, rock stars. I mean, their life expectancy is cut off. Many of these entertainers. One time I read recently about a man who watched football all day. I mean, you know, when football season's going on, if you've got certain channels, you can start out on a Sunday. And early in the morning, and you can go the whole day watching nothing but football. I mean, he just loved football. And this guy was watching football all day, and he came to the end of that day, and he said, "I've never felt so empty in my life." You know, all that football, you know, I mean, a lot of people are just, entertainment. They're trying to find peace and purpose, and they're going about it the wrong way. Is that you? Am I talking to you? Or, I mean, I know you want peace and purpose. I know that. Everyone does. Every one of us do. But, you know, people are going about the wrong way to find that peace and purpose, see? They're going about the matter of entertainment. There was a very famous entertainer, And he was searching for peace and purpose, you know, and he was all wrapped up in entertainment. And so he went to a psychologist, and he told him his problem. You know, he says, there's an emptiness in my life. And this psychologist said, hey, you know what, I know what you need to do. You need to go to the circus because they have a very famous clown there, and he can just make you laugh, and he can just make you really, really feel good. And the guy that he was counseling about this matter of, a hole and an emptiness in his life, he said to that psychologist, he said, I am that clown. You know, I tell you something. You see, entertainment is not going to give peace and purpose in your life. Many people think they can find peace and purpose through money. Oh, man, that's very prominent. I mean, money, big bucks. I mean, America's, you know, built on bucks. I mean, people love to get money, and they think that's going to give them peace and purpose. In 1923, there were 8 of the richest people in all the world that gathered at the Beachwater Hotel in Chicago, Illinois. Here's what happened to those 8 richest people 27 years later. 3 of them died totally bankrupt. They spent all their money trying to find peace and purpose, you know, and they died totally bankrupt. And then 2 of them ended up in prison, and 2 of them died of suicide, and 1 went insane. You see, you're not going to find peace and purpose in dollar bills and money. You know that the average football player, 78%, over 78% when they retire 2 years after they're bankrupt. 2 years after they're bankrupt. I mean, why are they doing that? They're spending all their money trying to find peace and purpose. You know, they think about a Lamborghini or this kind of car or these finest clothes, you know, that's going to give them peace and purpose, or partying. 80% of pro baseball players, 2 years after they retire, they're either alcoholics, drug addicts, bankrupt, or divorced, say. See, entertainment is not going to bring peace and purpose. Babe Ruth, who was one of the most famous baseball players that ever lived, said these words, I quote, when it comes to the game of life, I never got to first base. That's what Babe Ruth said. Yeah, he had all that money, you know, and all that worldly fame. Oh, many people are trying to find peace and purpose, but they're going about it the wrong way. Some try to find it in religion. They think, well, if I just become religious, if I just start going to church, or, you know, we've seen that Cornelius, one of the most religious men that the Bible ever talked about, he had no peace, he had no purpose, that religion wasn't satisfying at all to him. I know, I was there. I had religion for many years of my life, 16 years of my life, you know. I tell you what, it didn't give me peace. I had no peace about where I was going to go when I died. I had no peace about, you know, what about my sins when I stand before God. I had no purpose. What am I here for? I had no purpose in life. Religion doesn't give you peace or purpose. That's a wrong way to try to fill up that vacuum, that hole inside of your heart and life that is there. You're born with it. You know, your soul is crying out for peace and purpose. That's what it is. And it's a wrong way to do it. Religion can't give you peace and purpose in your life. Many people try to find peace and purpose through worldly success. There was a famous cartoonist. And, he said these words. He said, just before he committed suicide, he said, I have had few obstacles in my life. I've gone from wives, through many different wives. I have traveled all over the country and all over the world. But he said, I'm fed up with inventing devices to fill up my heart. And he took his life. Say, why? Because worldly success, I mean, he had it, but it doesn't give you peace and purpose. I'll never forget, I've got a son named Paul. I mentioned to you when I was preaching just a little bit before. I got a son named Paul, and he loved basketball. And this, of course, basketball season, I don't know if you're into the NCAA tournament, but he loved basketball. And he went to a Bible college, and he was on the Bible college's basketball team. And they had a good team. And they were heading for the championship of the Bible colleges across America, the championship game. And they worked hard. I mean, they get up early in the morning and they'd practice and practice late at night. And my son, Paul, whenever he did something, he did with all his might. I mean, he just poured himself into becoming the best basketball player. He was the point guard. You know, if you know anything about basketball, you got to have a good point guard to run the team. And he was the point guard. And you know, they went all the way to the championship game. They had it down in New Orleans, Louisiana. And I'll never forget. He said, "Dad, boy, this is it, championship game." And I said, "Okay, Paul, I'll be just rooting for you." You know, and I was just wanting God's will to be done. You know, I said, "Lord, if you wanted to lose, okay, you know, to learn something, you know, that whatever it is that he needs to learn, or win, if that would help him to want to walk with you, live for you, let that happen, you know." And I'll never forget, he called me on the phone. He said, "Dad, we won!" And he was so excited. And I was excited for him. You know, I knew all the time they put and all the practice and all the work. And I'll never forget his very next statement after that. He said, "But it doesn't satisfy." And I said, "Praise the Lord." I said, "Lord, praise the Lord that you showed him that, you know, success in sports, success isn't going to give you peace and purpose. Success in your business is not going to give you peace and purpose in your life." That's a wrong way to find peace and purpose. But the third thing I want you to note this morning, not only do I want you to know the need of that everyone has this need for peace and purpose in their life, because we're born sinners and our soul is out of fellowship with God, and it's creating peace and purpose with our Creator. And you know, and not only do people go about trying to find that peace and purpose the wrong way, you know, but I want you to say, thirdly, everyone can have peace and purpose in life. You can have peace and purpose in your life. You can. Your life can be filled with peace and purpose and have a reason for living and a meaning in your living, and have peace in your heart and soul about you know, life and where you're going to go after this life is over, and peace while you're here in this life. And you know how you can have peace and purpose in your life? It's through Jesus Christ. This is what John 14:6 says. Jesus said to them, "I am the way." See, I am the way. He's the way to have peace and purpose in life. Jesus is, see. He's the way. There was a great song that was written a number of years ago, and I really like this song because it expresses the reality of the peace and purpose in life that Jesus Christ can give. And it goes like this: "Friends all around me are trying to find what the heart yearns for by sin undermined. I have the secret. I know where it is found. Only in Jesus true pleasure abounds. All that I want is in Jesus. He satisfies. Joy he supplies. Life would be worthless without him. All things in Jesus I find." See, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Now, there are two words for life in the Bible. The one refers to existence. All of us have that this morning. We exist. We got life. But the word Jesus uses for life is a different word than the word existence. And it refers to abundant life. Jesus said in John 10:10, "I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly." Say, Jesus wants to give you an abundant life, a reason for living in this life. Say, and he wants to give you peace in this life. I mean, there's lots of trouble. You know, Bible says here that, you know, let not your heart be troubled. You don't have to have a life filled with trouble. You don't have to have a life that's filled with despair and distress and depression. You can have a life that is abundant, a life that gets better and better as the years go by, you know. I tell you what, that's what Jesus can do for you. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for yourself. Alcohol's not going to do it. Money's not going to do it. You know, getting married isn't going to do it. You know, I mean, it's not going to happen. You see, Jesus is the, "I am the way." He is not a way. He's the way, see, to have peace and purpose in your life. You know, there are two great things about this matter that I want you to know. First of all, the first thing I want you to note is this, that one of the most basic truths in the Bible is this, that you can have your sins forgiven. That is one of the most basic truths in the Bible. You can have your sins forgiven. I don't care how big they are. I don't care how many they are. You can have your sins forgiven. Listen to what Matthew chapter number 26 says and verse number 28. For this is Jesus speaking, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. See, Jesus shed his blood in order that your sins and my sins might be forgiven. Say, baptism can't forgive your sin. Your good life can't forgive your sin. Going through catechism can't forgive your sin. Say, a priest can't forgive your sin. Jesus said, it's my blood that will take care of your sin. My blood was shed at Calvary can take care of our sin. And so we see that's a basic truth of the Bible, that we can have our sins forgiven. In the book of Luke and chapter number 24, Jesus says this in Luke chapter 24. He says in verse number 47, and that repentance and remission of sins, there it is, that remission simply means forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. See, the Bible makes it very plain, folks, that we can have been forgiven. There is not a sin that can't be forgiven today through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed at Calvary's cross. Now, the second thing you need to realize is this. In order to have peace and purpose in your life, the only way you're going to have that peace and purpose is to know that your sins are all forgiven, all of them. Not the past ones, but the present sins of your life, and even the sins you haven't committed in the future. See, to have peace and purpose in your life, you've got to know that all sins are forgiven. Not just some, you know. I mean, just not the past ones. You know, and then you got to worry about the ones in your life today, and you know, you be upset about, you know, the fact you know you're going to sin down the road. No, you need to know that all of your sins are forgiven, say. And that's how peace and purpose comes. It doesn't come by just, you know, taking care of the past sin. When you come to Jesus Christ, you know, the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you from all sin, past, present, and future. Do you know that there are people in the Bible that had to have their sins forgiven in order to have peace and purpose? Let me just point out a few people in the Bible who had to have their sins forgiven in order to have peace and purpose. Moses. Probably one of the greatest men in the Bible, Moses. I can't wait to get to heaven. I like to sit down and talk with him a little bit. You know, what it was like to cross that Red Sea, amen, on dry ground. You know, I can't wait to sit down and talk to him. But Moses had to have his sins forgiven, you know, in order to have peace and purpose. You know why? He murdered a man. He actually murdered a man. And you know, the Bible makes it very plain that Moses got his sins forgiven, see? And as a result of that, his life was filled with peace and purpose. I think of David in the Bible. David was a liar. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. And yet, you know what? He had his sins forgiven. He knew it. You read the book of Psalms. In Psalm 32, he said, blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose iniquity is covered. See? And he got peace and purpose, got his sins forgiven. You see, David was a man, oh, wish we could have men like David. You know, he was willing to face his sin. He didn't cover it over. He didn't hide it. He faced his sin. And as a result of that, he got forgiveness. You know, you're never going to get forgiveness of your sin until you face it. You've got to be willing to admit it. David said, in Psalm 51, I acknowledge my sin. I acknowledge my sin and my transgression is ever before me. See, to have peace and purpose, you got to acknowledge that you have sinned. See, if you don't ever acknowledge your sin, if you don't acknowledge the sin in your life, you know, you'll never have peace and purpose. See, David was a man who was courageous. It takes a man to face his sin. It takes a real woman of character to face her sin. You know, and he faced his sin, and he confessed it, and peace and purpose filled him. In fact, he was a man after God's own heart, and God greatly used him in his life, because he was willing to face his sin, and then he got forgiveness for his sins, eh? And he had peace and purpose flood his life. The Apostle Paul was a man who had to face his sin. He had to deal with his sin to get peace and purpose. He persecuted Christians. He was responsible for many Christians being put to death. But Paul the Apostle got forgiveness for his sins. In Ephesians 1:7, the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Paul's writing the Ephesians, he said, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. See, Paul He was willing to face his sin. And he got peace and purpose in his life because he dealt with that sin. You see, if you cannot say this morning, that you know that all your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. If you cannot say that, I know that all my sins are forgiven, you're never going to have peace and purpose. You're never going to have peace and purpose in your life, you see, unless you can say that. In Luke chapter 7, the Bible tells us of a woman who had been taken in the very act of adultery. She was involved in adultery. And she came to Jesus. You know, that's what you should do when you got sin. You come to Jesus, you know. You know, he's got the answer. You know, he's got the answer for our sins. And she came to Jesus. And, you know, Jesus said to her, he said, thy sins be forgiven. See, Jesus is the only one who can forgive sin. And she came to Jesus. And Jesus said, thy sins are forgiven. And then in verse 50, he says to her, go in peace. See, when you get your sins forgiven, then you can go in peace. Say, you get a peace in your soul. Say, when your sins are forgiven. And she went away with great peace in her heart and in her life. Now you see, folks, the point is this. You see, unless you know your sins have totally been forgiven, you will never have peace and purpose in your life. Until you know Jesus is your Savior and you're living for Him, you will never really have peace in your life. Do you know Him as your Savior? If you do, are you living for Him? Are you walking in fellowship with Him? See, maybe there's some defiling sin in your life. You know, we can get the guilt of our sin taken care of by coming to Christ and receiving a Savior. All of the guilt is taken care of, say, when we trust Christ our Savior, past, present, future. But you know, we can have defiling sin get in our life after we get the guilt of all our sin forgiven. We can get defiling sin. One little sin gets in our life as a believer. It takes away our peace. It takes away our purpose of life. It blinds us. We can't see where we're going. We lose our direction. And we start wandering. Say, and it takes away our peace. Maybe this morning you have come to Jesus Christ and you've taken care of the guilt of all your sins, but you've got some sin in your life that you've let get into your life. You know what? That sin robs you of peace. And, you know, you're not going to be able to have an abundant life, say, until you're willing to face the sin and deal with it, say. And that's how you can have that peace restored and you can get back to having meaning and purpose in your living. And so this is so important to realize. Every one of us, by the way, needs to know that all the guilt of our sin is gone. Every one of us needs to know that. You know why? Because all of us have sinned. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 says there's nothing that doeth good, no, not one. You may think you're a pretty good person, but in the eyes of God, you're a sinner. In the eyes of God, you are not a good person in the eyes of a holy God, see? Because of sin, see? But you know, the great message of the Bible is that Jesus came to take care of sin. He came to wash away sin by the blood of Jesus Christ shed at Calvary. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. See, that's why Jesus came. He came to take your sin and my sin and pay the price for that sin so that we could have peace and purpose in our life. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commended, showed His love toward us. Some of the songs we sung this morning about the love of God and how that Jesus came and He died to take care of our sin. Romans 5:8, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now this morning, many of you here a good many of you here would say, Brother Gilmore, I thank God I know that all my sins are forgiven. All the guilt of my sins is gone. I know that. I know that. You can say that. But there are some of you can't say that. And you know why I know that's true? Is because you're still trying to find that peace and purpose in some of the wrong ways that we've mentioned this morning. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's success of the world. Maybe it's opioid drugs. Maybe it's some other matter like worldly success. And, you know, you're not going to find peace and purpose in your heart and your life. What do you need to do this morning? What do you need to do about that fact that you don't have that peace and purpose in your life? You know what you need to do? You need to get right with God. You need to come to Jesus Christ, and you need to receive Him as your personal Savior. You need to put your trust in Him to save you and take care of all your sins. Not your trust in your baptism or your good life. No, that will never take away your sin, and it will never give you peace and purpose. But you need to put your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for you and ask Him to save you. And He'll come in. And He'll wash away all those sins, the guilt of all those sins. And He'll give you meaning and purpose in your life. You see, coming to Christ and receiving Him as your Savior this morning, you have everything to gain. Everything to gain. The only thing you'll lose by coming to Christ is your sins. That's the only thing you lose. You will never lose out by coming to Christ. You will gain forgiveness of your sin, eternal life, peace and purpose in this life, a home in heaven for all eternity, a purpose in living. I tell you what, I'm so glad. When I was 16 years old, as a teenage boy, we were having revival meetings in our town where I was raised. And you know, a lady invited me to go to church, to go to those meetings. And I went to those meetings, and I heard for the first time in my life the fact that Jesus Christ could give me peace. And I tell you what, I was searching for it. I was craving it. I was always asking, what's next? I was trying to fill up that vacuum, that hole. And that night, the preacher pointed out to me that Jesus Christ is the answer. It's not things. It's not possessions. It's not people, it's not money, it's not sin, it's not all the things the world throws at us as being that which will fill up our life and make it have meaning and purpose. It's not that. It's Jesus Christ who died for me. And I tell you, that night as a 16-year-old teenage boy, I said, you don't want to have all my sins taken away. I want the guilt of all my sins to be taken away. And I came to Jesus Christ, said, Jesus, You died for me. You're the only one who can do it. Your blood was shed at Calvary's cross. You're the only one. And I said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. And I meant that with all my heart. And you know what? Just that quick. I mean, it didn't take a progressive amount of time. Just that quick. As I opened my heart to the Lord and invited Him to be my personal Savior, I'll tell you something. He filled my heart with peace and purpose. And you know what? That was 63 years ago. And I haven't asked what's next since. I have not asked what's next since. Jesus Christ gave me peace and purpose in my life. And He wants to do the same for you this morning. Oh soul, are you here without comfort and rest? Marching down the rough pathway of time, make Jesus your friend ere the shadows grow dark. Oh, accept His sweet peace so sublime. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. Come in. Down from the Father above will sweep over your spirit forever, I know, in fathomless billows of love. Jesus can do for you that what no one else can ever do. No one else or nothing else. Jesus can do for you what no one else can do. It's up to you. There's only one person that doesn't want you to come to Him. That's the devil. He doesn't want you to do it. Are you going to let Him have His way this morning? Or are you going to let the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you so much that He gave Himself at Calvary, are you going to let Him come into your heart and life and fill it with peace and purpose the rest of your days and for all eternity? Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. I pray the Holy Spirit would take these great truths this morning, this great simple truth, but so profound, so important, so critical, so foundational to our life and to our eternity. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit would right now work in hearts, and we'll give you the praise for it. With their heads bowed and their eyes closed, the pianist is coming to the piano to begin to play the invitation song. I want to ask this question this morning. Do you have peace and purpose in your life? Do you know that all your sins, all of them, past, present, future, the guilt has been removed forever? Do you know that? Do you know that? You know, maybe you're here this morning and you would have to be honest and say, you know, I don't know that. I don't know that all my sins, the guilt of them, have been forgiven, but I'd like to know that. I would like to know that. If that's you, here's what I want you to do right where you're seated. I would like you, we're going to have a moment of silent prayer, and I would like you right there where you're seated, I would like you to just talk to Jesus, who's here. He's right there. He's closer than anybody. You can keep playing. You know, he's closer than anybody. He's right near. And you know what? He's just waiting for you to invite him into your heart and life. And so we're going to give you that opportunity right here this morning. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, we're going to have a moment of silent prayer. And if you'd like to call on Jesus to take care of all your sins, he will do it. No one that comes to him, he will cast out. He said, all that come to me, I will never cast out. And if you're willing right there where you're seated to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me from my sins, he'll do it. I'm going to give you that opportunity. Right where you're seated, you can just, in this moment of silent prayer, just ask the Lord to save your soul. Would you do that? With her heads bowed and her eyes closed, as she's playing, she'll keep playing. In this moment of silent prayer, you just go ahead and pray in your heart of hearts and say, Lord Jesus, take care of all my sins. All of them, Lord. Would you pray that prayer right now? All right, with their heads bowed, our eyes still closed. I wonder, did you pray that prayer just a moment ago? Oh, you're seated there. Did you pray that prayer? If you did, here's what I'd like for you to do. After the service is over, I would like for you to either come to Pastor or come to me and say, Brother Gilmore, my name's Gary Gilmore, or you go to Pastor and say, Pastor, during that moment of silent prayer, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me from all my sins. And if you prayed that prayer while you were seated there, would you do that? Would you go to either Pastor or myself? And just let us know why. Because you know what? We want to rejoice that all your sins have been gone, forgiven. They're all gone. We want to rejoice with that. And you know what? It's a way to begin to live for Christ. It's a way to begin to live for him by confessing him as your Savior to someone else. So if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, would you please do that? Before you leave, I'll be at the back. Pastor will be back there. Just go up to him in a personal, private way and say, Pastor, Brother Gilmore, I ask the Lord to save me today. I hope you do that. Now I'm going to give this opportunity for those of you who have already done that. Maybe some defiling sin has gotten into your life. You know, your guilt of all your sins gone because you've trusted Christ. But when defiling sin gets your life, it can rob you of that peace. And I wonder, maybe there's some people here, you're saved, but you know what? There's some sin that's gotten between you and the Lord. And I want you to have the opportunity to take care of that sin and put it in the blood, confess it, and go out of here with peace, filling up your soul anew and afresh. So I'm going to give you that opportunity to have a prayer right there. We're going to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm going to give you an opportunity right there to say, Lord, would you forgive me of a sin that's gotten in my life? And tell the Lord what the sin is and agree with him that it is sin. And you know what? You can have peace fill your soul like never before. Get back in fellowship with the Lord and start being used of God in your life. So if you need to deal with some sin in your life, believer, you've been saved from all the guilt of them, but you've got a defiling sin, would you ask the Lord to forgive you right there in your pew in this moment of silent prayer right now? All right, with their heads still bowed and their eyes closed. I wonder how many would say this, Brother Gilmore, I'm saved, I know all my sins are gone. But preacher, I had to deal with a defiling sin in my life this morning. And I did. And I thank God that I got peace. That there's nothing between me and the Lord. There's nothing there. If you prayed that prayer and you said, Lord, I need to get some sin out of my life as a believer, and you really meant it, would you just lift your hand and let me rejoice with you this morning? Anybody like that? Just lift it up. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Preacher, there's a defiling sin. Yes. Amen. Anybody else? I know all my sins are gone as far as the guilt of them. I'm saved. But preacher, there's some attitudes, there's some words, there's some actions that's gotten in my life. And I know I need to get it right. I need to confess it to the Lord. And I did it. And I meant it. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? All right. Let's do this. Let's all stand together. And we're going to sing this great song, Let Jesus Come to Your Heart, number 559 in the Blue Book. I think that's, I don't know if that's your book or not. But we're going to sing, Let Jesus Come into Your Heart. If you're tired of the load of your sin. Are you tired of it? Boy, I tell you what. There's nothing as weary and depressing a life as carrying your sins around with you. You can get rid of the load of your sin today by Jesus Christ. So if you don't know for sure all your sins are forgiven, we invite you to come. Just come right here and we'll have someone take the Bible and we'll counsel with you and show you the scripture right out of the Bible. So if God's speaking to your heart along that line, would you slip out and come meet the pastor right here? Let's sing that first stanza, Let Jesus Come to Your Heart, number 559 together. If you are tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. If you desire a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now your doubtings give o'er. Just now reject Him no more. Just now throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. He plays one more time. If no one comes, pastor, have the service to close. If God's speaking to your heart. I mean, there's just some questions you got, some difficulty you're going through, and you want some counsel and somebody with you. Would you slip down this aisle right now and meet the pastor? And we'll be happy to talk to you about it. Go home with peace. Let not your heart be troubled. So many people's hearts are filled with trouble. It's a lot. This life's rough, folks. It's a hard life. But Jesus can give you peace. Got to come to Him now. Got to live for Him, Christian. Got to live for Him. All right, Pastor, you come, please, and close as God leads you.
Amen. What a great message that was to start the week. Do you have peace and purpose with God? Do you know Jesus as your Savior, number one? And number two, are you right with Him? It's important that we have revival meetings. I believe in order for souls to be saved, Christians have to get right first.
Amen.
It starts with us.
Yes.
And myself included, that if there's anything the Lord has spoken to us about this morning, let's get rid of it. Let's throw it away. Abhor that which is evil, as God says, and cleave to that which is good. Let's let the Lord... tonight or maybe an answer to prayer. Come on back tonight, 7 o'clock. All right, let us close in prayer at this time. And I'm going to ask Brother Roy Gibson, would you close us in prayer?
Our Father, we do thank you that we don't have to go so far, but you are there waiting for us.
Amen.
To be Amen.
Your Father. Yes. Our Father, that is. And do thank you for the blessing that we listen to tonight. I pray that you'll just guide and direct us and draw us ever closer to you.
Amen.
And now I pray that you will continue to be with the men and women that are in the church that wants to go farther into you.
Mm.
Help each one of us, Lord, and draw us ever closer to you.
Yes.
And all of the members now that is here that wants to draw closer to you, I do pray that you'll help each one of us.
Yes.
Draw us ever closer to you. Thank those that have come in and help with the music and the preaching and
Amen.
All of these. Lord, help us to draw ever closer to you.
Yeah.
For I do ask it in thy name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.